Hello there, this is Jacob Minang. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O Lord, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So first I will do the read. Chapter 19, Growing the Fruits of the Fear of the Lord. Scripture passage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is not terror, nor is it dread. It is a profound respect, awe, and reverence for the Almighty God. When we cultivate the fear of the Lord in our hearts, we acknowledge his infinite wisdom and perfect love. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is an indispensable part of our relationship with God, guiding us to live a life that is pleasing to him and beneficial to those around us. What does it mean to grow fruits of the spirit of the fear of the Lord? It is through this holy reverence that we are able to develop qualities such as love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. These fruits are not just for our benefit, but for the enhancement of the lives of those we encounter. As we grow in the fear of the Lord, our lives become a beacon of his love and mercy. Let's consider our relationships, particularly in our marriages. Marriage, as a holy covenant, requires mutual respect, understanding, and patience. The fear of the Lord aids in fostering these values. It serves as a foundation for a loving relationship where each spouse respects and values the other as a gift from God. When disagreements arise, as they inevitably do, the fruits of the Spirit become our tools for resolution. Patience and self-control prevent arguments from escalating. Kindness promotes understanding, and above all, love helps us to forgive and move forward. The spirit of the fear of the Lord also influences how we treat those around us. By recognizing every person as a creation of God, we are compelled to treat them with love, kindness, and respect. This recognition leads to humility, another fruit of the Spirit, allowing us to set aside our pride, listen to others, and strive for peaceful relations. It's vital to remember that these fruits do not grow overnight. Just as a tree needs time, care, and the right conditions to bear fruit, so too does our spiritual growth require time, prayer, scripture reading, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Most importantly, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is a powerful ally in maintaining personal accountability. This holy reverence reminds us that we are ultimately accountable to God, a perfect and righteous judge who knows our hearts and intentions. It instills in us a desire to please him in our actions, words, and thoughts. As a result, we thrive to be truthful, reliable, and trustworthy, ensuring our yes truly means yes and our no truly means no. It motivates us to maintain integrity in our commitments and responsibilities. In this way, the fear of the Lord aids us in upholding our promises, staying true to our words, and living a life that reflects God's righteousness. It helps us to become accountable, not just to ourselves and others, but most importantly to God. It encourages us to examine our actions, rectify our mistakes, and thrive for personal growth and improvement so that we might bear the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Reflection question. Reflect on the role of the spirit of the fear of the Lord in your relationship. How has this reverence for God guided your actions towards one another? In moments of disagreements or conflict, how can you better embody the fruits of the Spirit, such as patience, kindness, and love? Action step for the week. This week, spend some time each day praying together, specifically asking for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to permeate your relationship. Make it a conscious effort to exhibit one fruit of the Spirit, such as patience, kindness, love, in your interactions with your spouse each day, particularly in moments of disagreement or conflict.
Thank you, Jacob, for that wonderful read. So I get to do the gap before Jacob and I start talking about this particular chapter. So just to situate you on where we are right now, we're talking about the fear of the Lord, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that allowed us, that aids us in growing the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the question is, what got us here? So this book has been painting us a picture on how to live a more understanding and harmonious life in your relationships, especially in your marriage, right? So the book starts up in section one, going through the introduction and four other chapters, which tells us that we need to submit to each other. Husbands and wives need to submit to each other because the husband has that authority that was given to them by God. It is important that the wife submits with respect. And in order for the husband to exert that authority correctly, he needs to submit to his wife with love. And so chapter 1, 2, and 3 go through and help us understand how that works to be able to create a good and a harmonious marriage. And then chapter 4 helps us to see that we can't do all that by ourselves. We can't submit to each other by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit, which is the cord that binds us together as a couple. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to aid us in submitting to each other with love and respect. And so chapter 4 leads us into section 2 of the book that starts talking about why we struggle in our marriages. And it's truly just because when it says we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, it's difficult for me to submit with respect, and it's difficult for Jacob to submit with love. And so the question is, why then don't we have the Holy Spirit? And it's very important to understand that sometimes the Holy Spirit chooses not to dwell in us because we are not that temple that we were supposed to be. We've allowed our temple to grow other fruits, which are immorality, jealousy, licentiousness, all of that. And this is because we allow for the 7 vices to come into us. Like we call them in the book, the 7 cardinal spirits. So the spirit of pride, the spirit of lust, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of gluttony, the spirit of greed, the spirit of anger, the spirit of sloth, right? So one says those spirits exist and we allow them to habit, to come within us and grow these different bad fruits, it is difficult for the Holy Spirit to stay. And so we talk about how the Lord has to prune this out of us. And the only way he prunes it is through the hardships that he puts us through, right? And so when that chapter section 2 ends, we pick up with section 3, where we're now talking about when you have been pruned. First of all, pruning has 2 things. Pruning is taking away the bad fruits, and then it allows for the good fruits, for the good nutrients to go to the good fruits to grow more. When you've been pruned, the next step is that you need to start growing good fruits. And what are these good fruits? The fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the cardinal fruits, I would say, that the Bible lists out. There are probably several others, but the book focuses on these cardinal ones. And so today, we're now, after going through the last 5 weeks, talking about how we grow those fruits, which is really by allowing the Holy Spirit to come within us and gift us and give us his gifts, right? And the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of understanding, the gifts of counsel, the gift of fortitude, the gift of piety, which we did not cover in this book, but today we are now covering the gift of the fruits of the gift of the fear of the Lord, which helps us to continue to grow these fruits of the Spirit. And so our chapter today opens up with why we need to have the fear of the Lord, right? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Lord is understanding. So we talked already about understanding and the fact that when you gain the knowledge of the Lord, you're able to understand your spouse, to understand the other human being next to you. Why? Because they're created in the image and likeness of God. So here, the scripture is just emphasizing that once the fear of the Lord is that beginning of wisdom. That's where all of this starts from. And so,
at least, and I have to point out, if you go, that is a very powerful passage, because from my early days as a child, being a credit Catholic, I really struggled with this gift of the Spirit. For all the other ones seemed to make sense: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, and piety. Then suddenly they say we have to fear God. And then when you juxtapose that with all the conflicts and the wars that have been described in the Old Testament and God's wrath when you annoy him, one goes like, until you don't read the scripture passage, then you realize that, no, it's not describing fear as in terror, you know, or dread, because that fear is actually from which wisdom is derived. It's knowledge of God is from which understanding of the worldly things arrives. So it is the reverence for God that is almost equated to fear. Then the instances in the Bible that immediately come to mind where you see fear being expressed, but in terms of reverence, is the different instances where a human being feels the presence of God in the Bible. Go back to the Old Testament when Moses walked on holy ground. He had to remove his shoes. He was on holy ground. When the apostles, the three apostles that were lucky enough to be chosen by Jesus in the experience of the transfiguration, where they encountered Moses and Elijah. And my understanding later on was that all of those things were frozen in time. So Moses was experiencing it in his time. Elijah was experiencing it in his time. These two apostles were experiencing it in his time. But when God is mentioned for those apostles, you realize that there's mention of fear.
Yeah.
And if fear was the way we taught it as dread and terror or terror, Peter would not be asking that they should stay there, that place is so great, they should stay and there should be three tents.
Yes, you're very right. Fear, when we talk about the gift of the fear of the Lord, is not the terror. It's not a terror, it's not a dreadful gift. It is the gift where you have this profound respect for God and awe of God. And
more of reverence for the Almighty
reverence.
God.
Yes, and this one, Jacob, is the cornerstone to all our relationships, our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. This particular gift, it helps us to acknowledge his infinite wisdom and perfect love. And then it guides us to live a life that is pleasing to him and beneficial for those around us. And that's what makes it the cornerstone of building relationship with God.
Yeah, and when I remember how God is described using three words, then it makes sense why you have to have that level of awe. You have to be awe-stricken just thinking about God. That's not even experiencing his presence, even though he's present all the time. But when you really personally experience his presence, it's a different thing. What God is described as being all-present, ever-present. That's omnipresent. Yeah. He's everywhere and anywhere at any given time. Mm-hmm. So he's all-present. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do everything. And so even the things that he lets allow is just his permissive will. And then he is omnipotent. So he's omnipresent, omnipotent, and then he's omniscient. So he's all-knowing. So that's why the first few gifts have to talk about knowledge they can get from God, wisdom they can get from God, understanding they can get from God. Mm-hmm. And that's just a sliver. It's not even close to a tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
and that's why our knowledge is described as filthy rags compared to what God can bestow.
All righteousness, yeah. So in this reverence that we're talking about, right, when we say this is how we can build relationship with God, is through this reverence for the Almighty God. And it's like a holy reverence. It's not just where I may have reverence for you or another human being, but this reverence is like a holy reverence that gives you the ability to now show you some of these gifts or fruits of the Spirit, right? Bear them and start using them. The gift, the fruits of love, the groups, the fruits of patience, the fruits of kindness, gentleness, and self-control, you know. So Galatians kind of points out these fruits, but it's this holy reverence to God that allows us to be able to start developing these qualities of love, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Like, these fruits are for our benefit, and not just for our benefit, they're also meant to enhance the life of those around us. So it's truly a very unique gift that stands on its own. When you think about it, and they say, oh, the gift of the fear of the Lord is something else.
Yeah. So again, and I just keep getting enamored by this whole concept of the fear of the Lord. And after understanding it, especially with reading your chapter and enlightenment that I got from reading this chapter of the book, then I realized how important this particular gift is actually compared to other gifts. Because when you open up the book in chapter 1, you talk about the man submitting with love, but having authority. But for that man to not be carried away by the authority as so many other kings of old, that mm-hmm. cannot bring that downfall, mm-hmm. which is arising from pride. But for them to be able to express that authority, with exercise authority, with humility, it requires them to have a fear of the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is reverence. And the fear of the Lord means understanding where everything derives.
Derives, yeah.
That all the gifts that you have, including the power, the authority that you have, the wisdom, the knowledge, whatever you know, it's coming from God. And so that can only make you humble.
Yes. Because, right, it influences how we treat each other.
Yeah, you start treating other people differently and better because you know that whatever you have, its origin is God.
Yeah. And then it helps us to just recognize that everybody is a creature of God, right? And then it compels us to treat them with love, kindness, and respect, right? Which this recognition is the only thing that helps us to set aside our pride, listen to each other. Yeah, strive for peace. A peaceful relationship comes down to this.
If you're not talking about the Blessed Virgin, that we understand that she's full of grace, or God Himself, for a fellow human being to be able to show grace to the other requires a certain fear of the Lord.
Yeah,
where you're not treating people for in response to their actions or their words, but it's because you have the fear of the Lord in you.
I dare to say that there's some kind of a special harmony in the world because some people have this fear.
Yes. Yeah. So to de-escalate the conflict, even when you could be righteously angry.
Yeah.
Where you can listen to somebody trash you and say things, and there are so many things you can use to rebut whatever they're saying. But you know that rebutting is not going to help the situation. It's just going to escalate the situation. And you choose to, like Mary, do what they call pondering. Just think about it and just ponder it in your heart. It requires a certain fear of the Lord not to fit into the frenzy.
Yeah. But one of the things as I was writing this book, Jacob, that was it was an eye-opener. It was a revelation. It's coming to the understanding that this fear of the Lord helps us human beings with personal accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't see 100% of what you do.
Exactly.
And you can't see 100% of what I do.
You only have your own perspective, which may not be wrong, but if you just have a little bit of humility, you're acutely aware that it's only part of the story.
It's not even perspective, Jacob. I'm talking about like reality. Right.
Okay.
I don't know for a spouse out there, right? I don't know if that spouse out there is cheating until I find out, right?
Right.
But the one thing that's going to help that spouse to refrain from cheating is their personal fear of God.
That's
it
correct.
Helps them with that personal accountability.
And again, as you have to point out, you're not talking about the fear of going to hell.
No, just the fear.
It's just the awe and reverence for God, recognizing where everything you have is derived from. You know, it's like you can only think about it in terms of in the honor of your parents' name, good name, family values, and not that you're afraid that you're going to go to jail. There are some things that you do a certain way out there in the world because of that name.
Of that name, exactly. Family,
then take that and transpose that to God, who is even a mightier God, who will not give you a stone when you ask for bread.
Yeah, because this part about accountability, it really reminds us that ultimately we are accountable but to God.
Exactly. Not to our fellow man.
No, not to our fellow man. And then it instills in us a desire to please him, to please God in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. Imagine if I was going to respond to something you did to me and I had in mind that I need to be mindful about pleasing God in my action, in my words, in my thoughts. There's no way I'm going to come at you with a pitchfork and a knife. I'm going to be mellow about it. I'm going to be more
measured.
You're going to
show more empathy, patience. You're going to be more patient with me. You're going to be more kind to me.
And so it goes without saying then that just because it helps me to take personal accountability, it's going to help me be more truthful, be more reliable, be more trustworthy, right? It's like I'm going to be that person that when I say yes, it's yes. And when I say no, it's no. Yeah. And so this was like an eye-opener for me. And I remember talking to a friend around when I was writing this chapter, and she was struggling with her her partner and just some things that had been going on for them. And I remember telling her that, and I remember her wanting her partner to come and confess to her, to come and tell her the truth.
Like she felt like she knew what the truth is, but she wanted him to confess it.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember telling her that, sharing with her this passage and telling her that I think that we're praying for the wrong thing. We need to pray that he gains that fear of the Lord, because ultimately we want him to go tell God what has been wrong, where he has gone wrong, and ask for God's help and ask for the Holy Spirit's help.
So it's more like it's only the Spirit that can change the heart of a man.
Exactly.
Right?
Because if he comes and tells you, what are you going to do? Yes, he will confess this one. The next time he will do the same thing. But it's only when you go to God that he can truly turn it around for all of your good, right? So this was really, for me, I think one of the things that really stuck out. Another thing that stuck out was the fact that the fear of the Lord motivates us to maintain our integrity in our community, in our relationships, in our responsibilities. Right.
So it basically, you mean it helps you in upholding promises, right? Where you stay true to your words, as you mentioned, yes being yes or moving no, and actually living a life that reflects God's righteousness.
Yeah. So pretty much doing the right thing all the time, doing the right thing. Yeah. Because I fear this word's righteousness. People hear it and they just go, oh, that's that God thing again. No, it's
and I
choosing
this,
to do the right thing.
And when you think about this, given it really fits into the refrain where you keep repeating pray, pray, pray. But even though you say prayer without good works is dead, it show me your faith and I'll show you my good works. Mm-hmm. But this spirit actually helps you better with those good works.
Yeah.
And if you're praying for it and in a moment of strife, in a moment of acrimony, and if you can just be endowed with this gift, it's going to make a hell of a difference, because you'll be able to see actions that match those words. And you'll be able to see a transformation even in your partner, because for all we know, people, good turns to reflect good.
Yeah.
And evil turns to beget evil.
Yeah.
And so if you return evil, you're just multiplying it and you're just feeding into the system. But if you return it with kindness, with patience, with love, born out of your fear of the Lord, then you reap the right fruits, which is the fruit of a harmonious relationship.
Yeah. So pretty much to sum it all up, guys, for you all that are listening and in your marriages, this fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the gift of the fear of the Lord should help you to be more loving and merciful. The question is, do you need that? Do a self-reflection, guys, as we're always saying, self-reflection on you, not your spouse. Don't turn around and say, I think my spouse needs the fear of the Lord. No.
Just like when we're going through the fruit, the seven vices, right?
Yeah.
Then the more people understood those vices, the more they start seeing it in their spouse. Oh, yeah, there's that greed. Oh, there's that loss. There's that sloth. There's that gluttony. No. There's that anger. No.
Don't turn around and do that.
Elise was very intentional through all the passages, chapters in this book, where especially when you talk about reflection, you have to do an introspection. It's more about yourself. If you focus on working on yourself, and that's why it's a couple devotion now, because the hope is if you are both working on yourself, the outcome is great. But if you are obsessed about what's happening to that person, then it's a proverb trying to remove the speck in somebody's eye and getting the lumber in your eye. Maybe you just focus on
Jacob,
your own.
You called it lumber.
Yeah. Maybe just focus on your own, on where you struggle. Mm-hmm. You go a long way. So because then when disagreements arise, the fruits of this spirit really become the tools for resolution, because then you start seeing patience and self-control showing itself, which will prevent unnecessary arguments.
Arguments will
turn into conversations or discussions.
And you will not be escalating them, right? And of course kindness then would promote understanding. Yeah,
right.
And love would help us to forgive and be more more willing to move forward.
To move past that disagreement and be intentional to work together on common causes.
So, of course, as you're doing this devotional, please remember these fruits do not grow overnight.
So it's a journey, right? As you've said in every chapter, that just like the bad habits take time to form themselves and really take root in our hearts and destroy us gradually, so too are the good habits. The good thing is that if you're already on the path towards healing, on the path towards experiencing and expressing these fruits, then you start seeing the benefits in real time. But it is a journey. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. There are going to be fits and starts along the way. But if you know where you're heading, like this, like Liz mentioned in the first chapter, about actually in the introduction chapter about having a vision, a purpose, and a mission. If you know what the mission is as a family and have a common vision, the mistakes you make and the stumbles along the way will only fit into what she describes as the pruning process. Suffering being part of human experience.
Yeah.
And not a reason to give up and say this is too hard, because nobody starts by arriving. It's not a destination for anyone. It's a journey for everybody, even though you're on different stages of that journey.
Yeah. So Jacob, just like the trees that need care and the right condition to bear fruit, so too we as human beings, we need spiritual growth, right? And our spiritual growth
obviously will need time,
Yes, needs time, it needs prayers, it needs reading the scripture, and it needs being open to receiving these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
So this is how you know that I've read the fourth chapter of your book multiple times over, and the last chapter that we're talking about, the spirit of knowledge. And that has to do with your use of the word ask, seek, and then knock. So every time you say prayer, I'm hearing asking. And every time you say scripture reading, I'm hearing
seeking.
So he could actually have said that it needs time, and then you have to ask God and you have to seek God.
And then you have to knock
by making sure that you experience God in your daily encounters. And that's how you get that this fruit. So
All right, guys. So we've come to the end of this chapter, and quite frankly, the end of this section.
The end of section three of the book.
The end of section three.
It's moving fast.
Yes, it is.
Section four next week.
Yeah, I look forward to having this conversation with you guys at the. On Thursday,
the live show on Thursday,
and Before we close out, let's have Jacob pray for us.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage and for guiding us in our journey together. We ask for your continued guidance and for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to fill our hearts. Help us, Lord, to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in our interactions with one another, to be patient, kind, loving, and understanding, even in moments of conflict. May our marriage be a testament to your grace, and may our actions bring glory to your name. We trust in your wisdom and love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening and spending your Tuesday evening with us. Next week, Tuesday, we're going to be moving on to section 4 of the book. And section 4 of the book starts with the lesson on controlling our desires. The truth is that, be it as it may, when you have all these fruits that you are growing, right? Every now and then, some of those vices you fought with would rear their ugly heads up and just push you.
And show up as one of our 8 cardinal desires that you're covering in independent chapters in this fourth section of the book.
So it's very vital that when you know that these are my bad fruits, I'm trying to get rid of them. These are my good fruits I'm trying to build in. You also need to know these are my desires that I have to manage. Because like you will hear, the great thing about our desires is they were meant for a reason. They were given to us for a reason, right? So we have to be mindful about how we manage them. And so the next section goes into controlling your desires, because that also really truly affects how you build and maintain relationships, especially your marriage. So don't miss next week's episode also on controlling your desires. On Thursday, please don't forget to join us, 9 p.m. live chat on this week's chapter, Growing the Fruit of the Fear of the Lord. If you have any questions, you can message them, text them, drop them on the link for Jacob and I to address during the live session. Other than that, we're always welcoming couples. So if you're listening to us and you're thinking, oh, Dilys keeps saying this every week in, week out, I was planning to call her, give us a call. Let's see how we can bring you on to have a good conversation with us.
And if you're watching, if you're listening to this on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe. And most importantly, click on the bell button so you can get alerts immediately the podcasts are released every week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. All right, and let's talk about love.